Amen. Certainly it is wonderful that we can have that assurance that we will live in glory by and by. The Lord has made that possible for all of us. Indeed, as children of the Lord, we have that assurance that we have an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, reserved in heaven for us. Do y'all look forward to going to glory? You look forward to going to heaven? You know, I've heard Brother R.N. Hogan state, even in his later years, he said, "I'm homebound, but I'm not homesick." But it is a glorious future to look forward to. You know, you ever ask yourself, what will I be doing a year from now? What will I be doing 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now? And if you want to really stretch it, 20 years from now. Some of us won't be here 20 years from now. That's sobering when you think about it. We were discussing in our men's class this evening how that we are growing older. We are witnessing in some of us the graying of the flock. We have a number of persons who are over 60, some approaching 60, and some well in the 60s, some who have reached 70, some who are headed toward 80, some who are advanced on into the 80s and past the 80s and in the 90s. And that's a blessing. Of course, wherever you are on that continuum of years, of age, wherever you might be, it's a blessing to be where you are. And we don't have any assurance of ascending that scale of age. You know, we don't have any assurance that we're going to be here even tomorrow, next week, or next month. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, says James, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanishes away. But we're so grateful to God for blessing us to be here today. We don't know what the future holds as people of God, but we do know who holds the future. Brother David Love read for us this evening from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 17, where Paul, in just three words, articulates a profound truth as it applies to those who are the children of God. He simply and tersely affirms, pray without ceasing. We should always maintain an attitude of prayer. We should always maintain a prayerful state and be ready to pray at any moment. The particular posture that one assumes in praying is not of real significance, at least not of paramount significance. The attitude of the heart is what really matters before God. But you can pray while you're sitting behind your steering wheel, driving to work or coming home from work. You can pray while you sit in your cubicle at work, taking care of your assigned responsibilities. You can pray while you're doing your housework at home. You can pray while you are engaged in shopping at Kroger or Walmart. You don't have to be in any special place or have to utilize any special time to pray. And prayers don't have to be protracted or drawn out in length in order to be effective or efficacious. They just need to come from a sincere heart. Pray without ceasing. We live in a hustle, bustle world of rushing here and there and everywhere. We are always on the move. Demands are being made of us. We feel as if we are in a pressure cooker that is generating sometimes almost unbearable stress in our lives. And sometimes it's hard to find a moment of rest and reprieve. You know, years ago, folks didn't even have telephones. If you wanted to call somebody, you had to go to a payphone and call. And sometimes people placed what they used to call Jew calls. Anybody heard of a Jew call? Yeah, my dad made a few of those. When he'd go to Chicago to visit my aunts, they had telephones in their homes. We hadn't gotten one at that particular time. They would tell him before he left Chicago, so now when you get home, in order to let us know that you made it home all right, just go to the payphone and call us collect and ask for yourself. And so that's what Dad would do. I'm confessing for him, but he'd call Aunt Doretha and he's operator, I want to make a collect call. And the operator said, okay, who you calling? So they called the number and she said, a collect call for Doretha. I can't even think of my aunt's name. Anyway, Aunt Doretha, thank you. From Benny Jones. A collect call for Benny Jones. That's how it was, yeah. A collect call for Benny Jones. Benny Jones is not here. Okay, sorry, thank you. And she knew that Dad had made it home safe and didn't have to pay a dime. That's why they call it a Jew call, because it was a cheap call that you didn't have to pay for. But back in those days, we didn't even have a phone. And when we finally got a phone, we didn't use it a whole lot. But nowadays, a lot of folks don't have a phone in their homes anymore. Some folks don't have landlines. And increasingly, people are dispensing with their phones. But now, everybody and his brother has a cell phone. And there's something about the ringing of a phone that just kind of disturbs you. And you feel like you have to answer it. You don't have to answer it, but you feel like you do. And no matter where you go, you have that phone with you. And whenever it rings, it kind of puts a little stress on you, wondering, who is this? And when you look and see if you recognize the number, you wonder, what do they want? What's the matter? I feel like I need to keep my phone on me at all times. I said, now what if something happens to my wife? What if something happens to my daughter? And then when I look and see Tamika light up my phone, I hope she's all right. I hate to not answer it. Now she has no compunctions not answering when I call her. But I hate to not answer because I wonder, you know, is this an emergency? You know, what's happening? So we are so accessible, and that puts additional stress on us as people, because we can never get away from people contacting us and and calling us. When we go on vacation, we keep that cell phone right by us because we feel like something might happen or somebody might need me. And so we always under that pressure, under that stress of people wanting to be in contact with us. And sometimes we seem so busy and we feel so busy that we don't believe or don't think that we have time to pray. And not having time to pray puts some pressure on us. And sometimes we forget to pray. But we should never be too busy to go to God in prayer. We should never be too busy to take time out to pray to God. No matter how heavy our schedule might be, no matter how busy we might be, no matter what things are on our agenda for the day, we need to always remember to pray. When you hear or when you see the letters ASAP, what comes to your mind? ASAP. ASAP. As soon as possible. The person who puts a note on your desk and have an assignment attached to it and have ASAP on it, that means I want you to not lollygag around. I want you to get this done as soon as possible. I want you to make haste in taking care of this. And that usually signifies that there is something that is pressing, that is something that is serious, that is something that is important. It is something that demands your attention. So this, I need this ASAP. And of course, we don't like to be in those situations, especially if we're already involved in something else, and we have to go ahead and push that to the side temporarily and go ahead and give our attention to this ASAP, as soon as possible. It brings to mind hurry and stress. Get this done as soon as possible. Let's give it a new meaning in our brief lesson this evening to deal better with those rough days, those hurried days along the way, those challenging and stressful days along the way. And whenever you think about the concept of ASAP, of doing something or meeting some demand or completing some request or project as soon as possible, consider the fact that we can change the meaning of those letters. We can meaningfully change the meaning of ASAP rather than simply meaning and signifying that we need to get something done as soon as possible. Let's give it a different meaning. Let's say instead of just meaning as soon as possible, let's assign it the meaning, always say a prayer. There's work to do, deadlines to meet. You've got no time to spare. But as you hurry and scurry ASAP, always say a prayer. In the midst of family chaos, quality time is rare. Do your best. Let God do the rest. ASAP, always say a prayer. And really, when you do your best, that's all you can do. There's no need to worry about things. There's no need to fret about the things in your life that are happening. Just do the best that you can and recognize that worry doesn't solve any problems. That worry is wasteful. Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. Worry can't change the past, nor can it control the future. The one thing worry can do is mar today and make it miserable. Worry has never solved a problem. Worry has never answered a question. Worry has never dried a tear. Worry has never righted a wrong. Worry has never paid a bill. Worry has never repaired anything broken, never returned anything gone, never found anything lost. Worry has never opened up anything shut, never restored anybody's health, never illuminated anything dark, never brought back to life anything dead. Worry has never defeated an enemy. Worry has never completed an unfinished task. Worry has never achieved anything of a positive nature. So don't engage in the exercise of futility known as worry. In the midst of the stresses and strains of life, family chaos, quality time is rare. Do your best. Let God do the rest. ASAP, always say a prayer. It may seem like your worries are more than you can bear. Slow down and take a breather. ASAP, always say a prayer. You know, we have the assurance when it seems that things are more than we can bear that the Lord will not allow us to be tempted above that which we are able to bear. He will, with the temptation, also make a way of escape so that we might be able to stand up under the temptation. Rather than yield to the temptation to worry and to fret, just always say a prayer. God knows how stressful life is. He wants to ease our care. He'll respond to all of our needs ASAP. Always say a prayer. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, casting your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And even now, Jesus stands saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. So Jesus is willing to share your burdens. He's willing to share your stresses, and he wants you to always remember to say a prayer. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. ASAP, always say a prayer. The lesson is yours. Don't ever get too busy. Don't ever get too bothered. Don't ever get too bogged down that you don't have time to pray. Remember, ASAP, always say a prayer. If you're here this evening and you're not a child of God, I would suggest to you that you make up your mind to become a child of God ASAP. That is, as soon as possible. If you've not yet responded to the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, the wonderful story of love, I'd advise you to respond to it ASAP, as soon as possible. And if you do it ASAP, you'll do it tonight. If you do it ASAP, you'll do it now. He loved you enough to die for you. He was buried and he rose triumphantly from the grave on the third day. Didn't have to do it, but he did it because he wanted to. Sacrificed his life, shed his blood, gave his body. Believe that good news with all of your heart. Repent of all of your sins. Confess your faith in Christ as God's Son. And be baptized ASAP, as soon as possible. That's what Ananias, in essence, said to Saul of Tarsus, who had come down to Straight Street in Damascus. He was down there praying, and Ananias, God's man, came in to him and said to him, "Saul, Saul, why tarriest thou?" You need to respond ASAP to the command of the Lord. "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." And Saul immediately complied with that request. He didn't allow any grass to grow under his feet. He didn't drag around. ASAP, he responded to the gospel call. I hope you'll respond ASAP as well this evening if you find yourself outside the ark of safety. If you're here this evening and you stand a guilty distance from the Lord by virtue of sins you've committed after having become a child of God, if you've been unfaithful, you can take corrective measures ASAP, as soon as possible. You don't have to wait till tomorrow or next week or next month. You can do it now, and you need to do it now. When Simon the sorcerer thought that he could purchase the power to convey the Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands, as it was exemplified by Peter and John, when he said, "I'll give you money if you will give me this power," Peter said, "Your money perish with you. You have neither lot nor part in this matter. I perceive you in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart be forgiven thee." So Peter was in essence saying to him, you need to get this straight ASAP. As soon as possible, you need to get this straight. Your heart is not right with God. And old Simon got nervous. He said, "Pray for me that none of these things you've spoken come upon me." And that's where the story ends. I assume that they did pray for him, and hopefully prayed for himself as well. But he needed to do what he was to do quickly, not drag around. If you are here and you need to be restored, if you need to rededicate your life, don't wait. Don't put it off. Why not take those corrective measures ASAP, as soon as possible, through repentance, confession, and prayer? Do it now, ASAP, as we together stand and sing. Hear, oh, hear him calling, calling now for thee. Oh, you wandered so far from his presence, come today. Hear his loving voice calling still, calling now for thee. Oh, weary prodigal, come, calling now for thee. Oh, weary prodigal. prodigal come. Bread in the house of thy father and to spare. Hear, O hear him calling, calling now for thee. Oh, the table is spread and the feast is waiting there. Hear his loving voice calling still, calling now for thee. Oh, weary prodigal, come. Call.